thank you for inviting me this morning to this wonderful service. Food Bank. We are based down in the Festival Church, just outside the Garden Festival. But we are not Ebervale anymore. We're Blaenau Gwent. We changed earlier in the year. So we now have 4 food banks here in Blaenau Gwent. We have one still in Ebervale. We have one over here in Nantyglow, and one in Tredegar, and one in Abertillery. So the food you have collected for us will be spread between the 4 of us. So thank you very much for that. We have to remember what time of the year we're in, harvest, and we are thanking God for what he's given us during the year, the seeds that we've sown earlier in the year to produce all this wonderful food that we can give out to people that need it. And in Blaenau Gwent, we are feeding about 16,000 people a year. That's adults and children. And what happens is a red voucher is given to all the local organisations, social services, doctors, surgeries, churches. Where's Stuart gone? So if you want to hold vouchers, you can. But all the big organisations, the borough council, they all hold red vouchers. And what happens is, if a person is in crisis, and I can't tell you what crisis is, because crisis is a different thing to every single person that it happens to. But the organisation decides that that person is in a crisis. They give them a red food voucher, and they come to one of the points, and they are given a parcel of food. And all this food will be made into a parcel. And each parcel has the same food in it, but obviously different amounts for a single person, a couple, family with children, etc. And in each parcel there is enough food for 3 days. Now that doesn't sound a lot, but what we hope is that the organisation working with the person will help them through their crisis. And sometimes what happens is they come to the Festival Church and life has just dealt them a real bad blow, whatever the crisis, again, as whatever the crisis might be. And they come to us and they can be quite aggressive. But when you've got fear and you don't know the Lord, then fear is not a nice place to be. So we offer them a cup of tea. And we make no judgment. We just give out the parcel. And if we can be a lending ear when they're sitting there with their tea, waiting for their parcel, then that's what we do. If we can signpost them on to another organisation, then that's what we will do as well. We have contacts with CAP. We have contacts with the homeless unit here in Blaenau Gwent. So we can, you know, we can make contacts for them as well. So it's quite an interesting day, or 2 days that we have in Blaenau Gwent. But without the volunteers that help run the food banks throughout Blaenau Gwent, none of this would actually happen. The Trussell Trust set up the food banks, and the Trussell Trust are based in Salisbury. And Ebervale, Blaenau Gwent, was the first food bank in Wales 4 years ago. There are now 30 food banks throughout Wales and about 220 throughout the whole of the UK. I can't say we're the biggest. We're not. We're one of the smallest, believe it or not. But I hope we're doing a good job. And the request goes out that if any of you want to come down and see what we're doing, you're more than welcome. I'm there, as I say, on a Tuesday and a Thursday. I've been to so many schools in the last couple of weeks with their harvest. I've been to a few church services with harvest. And I am at the point now where all I want to do is just shed a tear and say thank you. I just can't believe the amount of food that we've had given to us in the last couple of weeks. It's been absolutely amazing. Thank you all for your donations. my prayer would be to thank everybody that has given throughout Blaenau Gwent. And I'm hoping that God has given us the grace to give it to those that need it. And I know he is, but sometimes I stand and I wonder whether, not that we're doing the wrong thing, but we are doing definitely the right thing and we're doing it for God's glory. I just hope that we bring more people to him through what we're doing. Amen.
Let's just pray, shall we, for the food bank, because they did an amazing work, and really, really appreciate the work that you're doing, Amanda. Let's pray God's blessing on this great ministry, and let's thank God as well for his wonderful provision that he does provide, and he's provided it in amazing ways. And isn't it wonderful just to hear the number of people who are giving towards this, and how much food they've had coming in. Let's just pray God's blessing. Lord, we want to thank you for Amanda coming here today. Thank you for the work that she's doing, the work that Ebervale Food Bank is doing, and Lord, also the food banks all over the UK. Lord, they're bringing life, Lord. They're bringing necessary life where people are at the end of their tethers, Lord, where they've got no place to turn. And Lord, you're meeting them in that place of need. So Lord, we ask for your blessing on this ministry, Lord. We ask for increased resources, increased volunteers to help out, Father, and for lives to be changed and turned around. Lord, we do pray for those who are using the food bank, just to know your blessing, know your comfort, know your peace, and Lord, also know your provision so that they can get back on their feet as well and get back into that place where they've got regular money coming in and able to support themselves as well. Lord, we do want to thank you for this great ministry, Father, and ask for your blessing upon it. Lord, take this food. Thank you for everyone that's given this food here today, Lord. I just pray that you'd use it for your glory and touch many lives and bless many people with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give Amanda a great big round of applause. Well done. Thanks for being bold and using the microphone too. Really appreciate that. Okay, right. What I'm going to need now is some help with the story. So we're going to do a story which includes Jesus and his disciples. I need some volunteers, please. I'm going to need someone to be Jesus. I'm going to need someone to be Philip. I'm going to need someone to be Andrew. If you want to help out, just come up the front. You don't need to put your hands up. Just come on up. I need a load of people. And I'm going to need some more people just to be disciples and to help me out with this story. That would be great. Whoever wants to be involved can. Right. Sarah, I don't know if you can help out with some of the costumes. I've got some costumes here for people to put on. Lovely. Whatever you think, whatever people fancy. Who wants to be Jesus, first of all? Oh, we got a female Jesus there. Fantastic. We got some more people coming up. Right, for the crowd, I'm going to divide you into three, and I'd like you to do some chomping noises like you're eating. Great to see some new faces here. You're very welcome. Sorry to embarrass you. Can I say group one here? Group two. I need a group two. Up to here. Can we have you as group two? Up to here. In fact, group two needs to be a bit bigger than group one, so can some of you on the end be group two as well? So group two. And then group three, you're the loudest of all. Do you think you can be the loudest of all? So group one is going to be gentle chomping. Pretend that you're piling food into your mouth. Can you just do that? So go. Group two, a bit louder now. And group three, really loud. Yeah, that's great. Whoa, yay. Fantastic. That's really, really good. Then, after I've had the three groups, can anyone here do any belching sounds? Have we got anyone that's good at belching? It could be more than one person. Who wants to do a belching? Who's any good at belching? Swallowing air and going, Just to do a can we do a test? Do you need some help? Do you need some help? Okay, perfect. Have we got anyone else who's good at burping as well who wants to join him? Just for a bit of confidence. Okay. Boys, do you want to stand together then? And then do the belching bit. Okay. You're too busy giggling. You need to come over here because I can't bring the microphone close to the speaker because otherwise it'll squeal. That's great. One, two. You ready? One, two, three. That's not bad. Okay, well done. Right. So when I let's just do a practice then. That side, that side, that side, getting loud, and then the belch at the end. Ready? Everyone's eating. Well, you're quiet until I point you. So one, two, three. That's brilliant. Okay. Right, we're there. We're there. Okay, right. That's necessary for the story. Right. Okay. Right then. Who's Jesus? Hands up, Jesus. Okay, we've got Jesus. I need someone to be the boy with the picnic box. Who wants to be the boy with the... Okay, at the end. Do you want to give a, in the picnic box? I don't know. I thought you bought it. Can we give him just that? I pretend that's a picnic box. That's great. Fantastic. Okay. Who's going to be Philip? Who's going to be Philip? If we've got Philip here anyway. We could have Philip, couldn't we? This has got a line. Well, okay, well, Philip, do you want to be Philip? Can we give Philip a costume to wear? Ah, oh, come on, we just have a Philip up here anyway. Okay, and who wants to be Andrew? You've got a line, Andrew. Yep, okay, excellent. Kate's going to be Andrew. Well done. Right, I think we've got everyone. Okay, you ready for the story? Here we go then. This is called The Marvelous Picnic. It wasn't long before lots of people wanted to hear Jesus talk about God, and many more wanted him to make them well. So they followed him everywhere. So can you wander around, please, guys? From town to town, from city to country, and all the way back again. Jesus said, we need a rest. Jesus said, we need a rest.
We need a rest.
And so they took a little boat trip across Lake Galilee. So can you pretend you're getting in a boat? Maybe do some sailing, some rowing. They were hoping to camp for a while in the hills beyond. But the people were so eager to see Jesus that they raced around the shoreline to meet him on the other side. Jesus was exhausted. Oh, have a big yawn and a stretch. Everyone else is tired too. But when he turned and saw all the people, all these people here out here, following him up the hills, he stopped. He said, they're like a sheep without a shepherd. Can you shout it out? They're like a without. Brilliant. He said to his friends. And he said they need someone to show them the way. Brilliant. So he himself sat down right there and then. And he started to teach. He said, God loves you. He said, he knows what's best for you. The most amazing things can happen when you trust him. Jesus said a lot more than that. In fact, he taught all day. A bit like me sometimes when I'm preaching. And then, by then, the people were hungry. Can everyone look like they're really hungry and rub their stomachs? Ah! And start whinging a little bit. Can we all whinge? Ah! Ah! Philip, Jesus called to one of his friends. Say, can you go out and buy some bread for these people? Okay, my first point is this. Jesus wants to feed people. He's concerned about people. He doesn't want anyone being hungry in the world. What we're doing here is great because it's on God's heart. God doesn't want anyone to be suffering. And where there is suffering, we need to be part of the solution to that. So we need to help out as much as we can with things like the food project, the food bank. But things like CAP, that was mentioned, that's Christians Against Poverty. You know what they do? They actually do courses, and we've trained up to do the course. And we've done one course. We need to do some more. It helps to train people how to manage their money and how to get out of debt for themselves. So it's initiatives like this that we want to support. And in fact, when we've got the new building up and running, we're hoping to have a food bank running in there as well, alongside the other food banks that are operating in the area on the weeks that, on the days that they're not operating. You know, so we can have a food bank for everyone in the whole area on every day of the week. So that's the plan, and God wants us to be involved. In the book of Acts, everyone, it said, was together, and they shared their possessions, and no one was in need. And we want to get to that place, really, where there aren't people amongst us in need, that we share the things that God has given us. I wonder, children, what are you like at sharing? Are you very good at sharing your things? I'm still learning it now, and I'm older. So that's the first thing. Jesus fed the hungry, and he wants us to do the same. Okay, let's move on with the story. Philip just laughed.
But there's more than 5,000 of them.
It will take 6 months' pay.
To feed all of these.
Then Andrew, Philip's brother, spoke up. Who's Andrew? We got Andrew. Oh, yes, Kate, isn't it? There's a boy here. Jesus. Who has a little food. 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. It's not much, but it's a start. Who's got the food there? Lift the food up. Yeah, Evan, well done. Okay, well done. Second point in my sermon. Jesus gives us things so that we can share with other people. He's given each one of us here talents, abilities. He's given you gifts. You might not think that you've got gifts or that you've got good points, but let me tell you, you've got some really good points, each one of you. And each one of us is different. And if we don't share what we've got, other people are suffering as a result. When we don't share our money and give to the poor, people suffer. But also, when we don't share the gifts that God's given to us, the abilities that we all have, others suffer as a result. You know, the church is meant to be a place where people come together and they share the good things that they've got, and they bless other people with those gifts. So let's make a decision today. Lord, I'm going to use the gifts that you've given to me. I'm not going to just hide them and keep them to myself. I'm going to share them with others, just as this boy shared his food. So it is, Jesus grinned. So Jesus, can you say, so it is? Jesus, can you say, so it is? And Jesus rubbed his hands together as if he was about to go to work. Jesus said, make the people sit down in little groups. Tell them we're going to have a picnic. Can we all go, yay! Jesus' friends looked at him. They looked at the little boy's lunch. They looked at the enormous crowd. They looked at each other, and they shrugged. All right, they agreed. All right. Whatever you say. You know, the amazing thing is, they were obedient to Jesus, and Jesus was about to do an amazing miracle. But really, when you think about it, the miracle happened through the disciples, the followers of Jesus, because they're the ones who passed the bread and the fish around and fed all the people. And let me tell you this, when we're willing to step out and trust in God and pray for people, maybe people who are sick, they need healing, when we're willing to step out and pray for them, amazing things happen. And God can use us to do a miracle. Even little old me, I can be used by God to do something miraculous. I'm not what? Old? Thank you. I'm not God, but I've got God in me. And you've got God in you as well. I'm not God. I can't do the miracles, but God can do the miracles through me, and he can do the miracles through you. And let's be honest, he can do some pretty miraculous things with what we give to him. We've given him something this morning, and he can do some amazing things with this. And that he can actually lead people to get to know him through us stepping out and trusting in God and being obedient. Okay, let's move on with the story. Jesus smiled, and he sent his disciples out to feed everyone. So what have we got there in the packed lunch? Can you show us what you've got? Well, actually, there was only a couple of fish in there. Yep. Is that right, two fish? And was it the five pieces of bread, wasn't it? Two fish and five pieces of bread. So can we just pretend these are five pieces of bread? Oh, lovely. Okay, guys, can you take the fish and the bread and can you go and give them out to the people, please? I want everyone involved. Break the bread into little bits and give each person a fish. So give each person a fish and a little bit of bread. That's wonderful. We're going to have ourselves a great big picnic. Good job. If you're hungry and you need a bit of bread, have a bit of bread. Enjoy it. Excellent. Multiply it, Lord. While we're passing this round, let me tell you a true story. In Bristol, there was a man called George Muller, and he was a bad child. He was a bad boy. He ended up getting in trouble with the police and going to prison on a number of occasions. And people tried to get him to change. They tried all they could to get him to change. They gave money for him to change, and he wasted the money on himself. He deceived people. He was a liar. He was a crook. He was a dirty, rotten thief. But one day, God got hold of his life, and he changed. And as a result, he opened up some orphanages. In fact, he opened up quite a few orphanages in Bristol, and he fed thousands of children, and he gave them an education as well. And he's very well known. His name was George Muller, and today there's the Muller Foundation that still helps people. But one day, George Muller, he was a man of prayer, and he believed God and trusted God. And one day, in one of the orphanages, it was time for the children to eat. It was breakfast, and he sat at the table knowing that there wasn't any bread and there wasn't any milk, and he just gave thanks to God for the food. And he knew there wasn't any food. And as he gave thanks, there's a knock at the door, and it was a baker, and he'd been up since early morning baking bread because he just felt he just had to bake loads of bread and give it to the orphanage, and he gave it all this bread. And so he gave thanks to the bread, and they started eating it. And then there was another knock at the door, and it was a milkman, and he had loads of milk that was left over. And he said, "Can you make use of all this milk?" And no one knew that there hadn't been any provision before that. But he gave God thanks in faith, and God provided. And that's a true story. A man called George Muller. He's well known being a man of trust in God. Okay, can we pretend that we're eating, and I'm going to do you into your three groups. Get ready to do this now. So it's a chomping. So group one, group two, group three, louder, getting louder, and then the burping at the end. Okay, boys? So get ready with a burp. Okay. One, two, three, group one. Group two. Group three, really loud. Oh. was a shock afterwards. That's great. One more round. Group one. Group two, come on, louder. Come on, group two. Group three, come on, group three. Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, I love it. I love it. Perfect. Jesus smiled. Jesus, are you ready, Jesus? Jesus smiled as he watched the people go. He bowed his head, he thanked God for the food, and he broke it into pieces. The friends returned and began to pass out the pieces. To their amazement, there was plenty for the first group, plenty for the second group, and plenty for the third group, and then every group. Plenty for everyone, more than enough to go around. So much, in fact, that there was 12 basketfuls of leftovers to take home. Can we pretend that we're picking up all the pieces, please, children? Can you pretend that you're putting them into baskets, going around and taking all these leftovers home? People patted their tummies. Can we pat our tummies, please? They struggled to their feet. They wiped the crumbs from their mouths. Can we wipe the crumbs from our mouths? And some even burped.
Oh, I can't do it.
Never mind. Brilliant. But all of Jesus' friends, all they could do was stare. It's just as I told you, Jesus said. He's got his mouth full of food. God can do the most amazing things. All we have to do is trust him. Then he smiled at his helpers and popped a chunk of bread into his mouth and then headed off for home. Can we have a great big round of applause for all our helpers, please? Thank you, children. If you can have a little sit down on the floor there for a second. The last point in my sermon is this. Jesus loves each and every one of us. And he didn't come just to give us physical food. In fact, one of the things that Jesus said about himself was, he said, I'm the bread of life. And he who comes to me, he who comes to Jesus, or she who comes to Jesus, has passed over from death to life. You know, Jesus came to give us a hope that when we die, that won't be the end of us. Jesus himself died a horrific death. He went to the cross. He was nailed to a wooden cross. And he said beforehand, he said, I'm going to go to that cross. I'm going to die for the sins of the people. What does that mean? It means that each one of us, if we're honest, okay, children, shh, just for a second. Just be quiet for a second. Thanks. One of the things that is true of every person that ever walks this planet is we've all done things, if we're honest, that we know aren't good. I wonder if we were to show everything you've ever thought of this week, everything that's gone through your mind this week and everything you've done this week on a big screen and we could see into your life, see your thoughts. I wonder how many people would be a bit embarrassed right now and wouldn't want their thoughts to be shown on the screen or the things that they've done just this week. Well, imagine your whole life, all of your thoughts and deeds being shown on a video. I would be a bit embarrassed if that was me. Because the Bible says we've all messed up. Each one of us has done things that we're really ashamed of. Things which are against what God would want for our lives. The Bible calls these things sin. And Jesus, when he went to the cross, he said that he was going to take the blame for every sin we ever commit in our lives. So every sin you've ever thought of and done in your life, when Jesus died on the cross, he took the blame for those things. He did this so we can be forgiven and get to heaven when we die. And Jesus said, if you put your trust not in your goodness, not in your ability to live your life to your best, don't trust in that. Trust in what he's done. When we do that, he promises us we pass over from death to life. How do we know that it's true? Jesus proved it by coming back from the dead. On the third day of being dead, he rose again. He appeared to over 500 people. He ate food with them, like we've seen today. He enjoyed meals with them. They touched him. They knew it was Jesus. And then he ascended up into heaven, and he said, one day I'm going to come back to judge the world. He's going to give eternal life to those who've trusted in him. But for those who haven't, there's going to be a punishment for their own sins that they've done. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in that group that's going to be punished for the things that I've done wrong, because I know that I've done many things wrong. But Jesus promises, if we simply trust in him, say that we're sorry for what we've done, which is wrong, he will forgive us, and he will cleanse us, wash us clean from everything bad we've done, and he'll accept us into heaven when we die. I want to say a very simple prayer now, which is saying sorry to God for my sins, what I've done wrong, and turning away from them and asking him to forgive me and to come into my life. And if you want to join me in this prayer this morning, it's a prayer to become a Christian. You don't need to be a certain age. You could be very young. You could be a child, and you can become a Christian simply by believing what Jesus has done for you. You're never too old to become a Christian. You may not have been brought up in a Christian family or gone to church before. Let me tell you this. God loves you no matter what background you're from, whether you consider yourself religious or not. God loves you, and he wants to be at the center of your life. And he wants you to know that if you died tonight, you'd be in heaven with him. So I'm going to finish with a prayer. And if you want to pray this prayer with me, I'm going to leave some gaps so you can pray it with me. Let's just all be a bit quiet, can we? Just while we're praying this prayer. And we're going to finish with a song after that. So maybe we could just bow our heads. Even for those who don't want to pray, maybe just out of respect for those who do want to pray this prayer, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe we can just think about some of the things that we want to get right with God. Maybe some of the things that we're not proud of, that we want to say sorry to God for. Maybe just think of some of those things now as we come before him. Jesus, I want to say to you that I've done many things I know are wrong. Please forgive me for these things. Thank you that you went to the cross for me. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you took my punishment upon yourself. Jesus, today I turn away from what is wrong, and I put my trust in you. Lord, please accept me into heaven when I die, and come into my life today. Help me to live by your power and to follow you every day of my life. Amen. Well, I said that prayer. If you said that prayer, maybe again or even for the first time, why don't you put up your hands and, without being ashamed, and just say, yeah, I prayed that prayer and gave my life to Jesus. Let's give everyone a round of applause, shall we? Let's done that this morning. Well done, guys. You know, Jesus wasn't ashamed of going to the cross for each one of us. And he did that. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. And yet, because he loves us so much, he took it all upon himself because he loves us. The Bible says, never be ashamed or embarrassed about Jesus. Jesus won't be ashamed of you one day. If you tell others you're a Christian and don't hide it, then Jesus will acknowledge you one day before everyone in heaven. That's going to be a great day. But equally, if we hide it and we're ashamed of Jesus, one day he's going to be ashamed of us when we appear before him. So let's never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Can we finish with a song then? We've got a song all about the feeding of the 5,000.